Welcome back. In this lesson, we're going to build a roughneck jungle call and response riff in Ableton Live 12, then turn that idea into a proper drop section that feels dangerous, spacious, and alive. If you've ever made a two-bar loop that felt strong for a moment, but then just kept repeating without really going anywhere, this lesson is for you. The big idea here is simple. One phrase calls, another phrase answers. That contrast gives your track structure, momentum, and character. And because we're approaching this from an atmosphere's angle, we're not just making it heavy, we're making it eerie, cinematic, and deep. Set your project to 172 BPM to start. That sits right in the sweet spot for jungle and darker drum and bass. I want you in session view first, because it's a great place to test ideas quickly without getting lost in the arrangement too early. Create a few basic tracks: drums, bass call, bass response, sub, atmospheres, and maybe one FX or vocal track if you want extra attitude. Before you start writing anything flashy, do one important bit of housekeeping. Put a utility on your bass group and keep the low end centered. Mono discipline matters in drum and bass. If the low end gets too wide too early, the whole track starts to blur. Also, leave yourself some headroom. Don't slam the master. Aim to keep things peaking around -6 dB at this stage so you've got space to build. Now let's talk about the riff itself. In jungle and D&B, the best bass ideas usually come from short phrases, not long melodies. Think in musical sentences, not paragraphs. So on your call bass track, write a short MIDI motif, maybe one bar or even just two beats. Keep it rhythmic and punchy. A root note with one or two movement notes is enough. You can darken it up with a minor third or a flat five, but the key thing is the shape. The phrase should feel like it's speaking. For the call sound, Waveatable is a great place to start. Go with a saw or square-based Waveatable, add a little detune on a second oscillator if you want thickness, and keep the unison controlled. 2 to 4 voices is plenty. You want aggressive, not smeared. Shape the sound with a low-pass filter and a short envelope so it hits hard and gets out of the way. Then push it a bit with saturator. A few dB of drive and soft clip-on can add the kind of grime that makes it cut through the breakbeat. Here's a useful teacher note. In this style, the riff usually works better when the sound seems to talk, not just play. So automate the filter cutoff a little. Even small movements can make the call feel like it's barking or growling rather than sitting still. A short open and close motion on the filter can create a really nice sense of speech. Now design the response as a true contrast, not a copy. This is where a lot of people miss the point. If the call is bright and serrated, the response should feel lower, wetter, wider, or more broken. If the call is aggressive and mid-forward, the response can be smoother, darker, or more percussive. Duplicate your idea onto a response bass track, but change the sound. Operator is perfect for this if you want a sine-based or FM-style answer. You can also stay in Waveatable, but reduce the harmonic density and shift the register down an octave. A good response often works with slightly more glide or portamento, because that gives it a slurred, answer-back feel. And if you want a touch of space, add a little echo, but keep it controlled. Filter the repeats so they sit behind the drums instead of washing over everything. The response should feel like it's coming from deeper in the fog. Now bring in the drums, because the bass only works if it locks to the pocket. Start with a kick and snare foundation, with the snare landing on 2 and 4. Then add a chopped break underneath. If you're sampling a breakbeat, simpler in slice mode is a quick way to get started. Or you can manually chop the audio in arrangement view. The key is to leave space. Don't overfill the break. The bass needs room to answer the snare, and the snare needs room to crack. On the drum bus, a little drum bus can bring out the crunch, but don't overdo it. Keep the drive modest. Glue compressor can help tie the loop together with just a little bit of gain reduction. And if the low mids start getting muddy, use EQ8 to clean up around 200 to 400 Hz. That area can get crowded fast in drum and bass, especially once the bass layers and breakbeat are all talking at once. This is one of the most important ideas in the lesson. The riff should ride the break, not sit on top of it. If the bass masks the snare, shorten the bass envelope. If the response is swallowing the groove, trim some low mid energy. And if the pocket feels stiff, move one bass note slightly earlier or later by a 16th. That tiny timing change can make the whole thing breathe. Because we're working in atmospheres, we also need something in the background to glue the phrases together. Add a pad or noise track. This could be a Waveatable noise layer, an analog pad, or even a field recording or vinyl texture in simpler. High pass it so it stays out of the low end, then add reverb and a little echo. Keep the wet level low. You're not trying to wash out the drop. You're trying to create depth, tension, and movement behind the riff. A really effective trick is to automate the atmosphere around the call and response. Let it swell slightly before the call. Pull it back when the response lands, so the answer feels heavier. You can even use a reverse reverb swell leading into the end of each phrase. That little inhale before the answer lands can make the arrangement feel much more intentional. Now let's make the loop feel arranged instead of static. Use automation everywhere you can. Automate the call bass filter cutoff. Automate echo send amounts on the phrase endings. Open the saturator a little more in the second half of a four-bar section. Use utility for quick dropouts or fake-outs. Even a small volume dip can create a sense of tension before the next hit. A strong structure might look like this. Bars 1 and 2 establish the call and response at full strength. Bars 3 and 4 remove one drum element and open the call filter a little. Bar 5 drops the response for half a bar to create a vacuum. Bar 6 brings the response back with more distortion or an octave layer. Bars 7 and 8 bring in a fill, reverse crash, or pitch down tail. That kind of phrasing keeps the listener engaged without making the idea too complex. Now expand the loop into a 16-bar drop. Think in clear sections. The first four bars establish the riff. The next four bars vary the response or thin the drums a little. Bars 9 through 12 can be the heavier version, maybe with extra sub or an octave layer. Then bars 13 through 16 can break the riff down and set up the next section with a fill. This is where drum and bass lives or dies. If the energy never changes, the drop gets stale. If the sections evolve cleanly, it feels like a proper statement. A good arrangement trick is to reserve your biggest moment for later. Let the first half of the drop explain the idea. Then let the second half hit harder, with more distortion, more weight, or a slightly more aggressive response. You can also introduce a second call, like a vocal chop or jungle stab, to create a stronger dialogue. Now let's refine the mix. Keep the sub clean and mostly mono. The call bass should live more in the low mids and mids. The response should contrast in tone rather than just volume. On the subtrack, use a sine-based source in operator or simpler, then keep it narrow with utility. If needed, low-pass it hard and sidechain it gently to the kick. On the bass group, use HQ8 to remove mud, and use saturator or drum bus for harmonics without destroying the low end. Do a mono check. Do a low-volume check. If the riff still makes sense when you turn it down, that's a very good sign. In drum and bass, clarity at low volume usually means power at club volume. A few common mistakes to avoid: making the call and response too similar, letting the bass mask the snare, drowning the bass in reverb, overcrowding every 16th note, widening the low end too much, and building a loop that never evolves. If it feels busy but not clear, remove information rather than adding more. In this style, space can hit harder than density. If you want to push things further, try a few pro moves. Add a tiny noise attack layer to help the bass speak. Separate the body and bite into different layers and process them differently. Put echo on a return track and filter it heavily. Use a little autopan only on the top layer, not the sub. And if the riff feels too clean, resample it to audio and start chopping, reversing, or retiming the waveform. That often gives you a more authentic jungle feel than staying purely in MIDI. Here's a quick practice challenge. Spend 15 minutes making a 4-bar sketch at 172 BPM. Build a simple drum loop. Make one call sound in Waveatable or Operator. Make one response with a different register and tone. Write a 2-bar phrase, where the call lands on beat 1 and the response answers on the offbeat. Add a filtered atmosphere that swells into the response. Then automate just one thing, like filter cutoff or echo send. Duplicate it once and make a variation by removing one drum hit, changing one bass note, or adding one fill. If you can make a listener hear the question and then the answer, your riff is working. And once that idea is locked in, you've got the foundation for a serious roughneck jungle or darker DNB section. So remember the core formula: keep the call and response different, lock them into the breakbeat pocket, use atmospheres to create depth, automate movement so the loop evolves, and protect the low end so the drop stays heavy and clear. Do that in Ableton Live 12, and you're not just making a loop, you're building a proper drum and bass conversation.